Good evening and welcome to our July 20th, 2023 regular meeting of the Marysville Board of Education. Our meeting was previously called to order, so right now we are at the Pledge of Allegiance. So if everybody would stand up and join me, please. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you. I would accept a motion to adopt tonight's agenda.
So moved.
Motion by
second.
Motion by Ms. Savage, second by Mr. Keck. Roll call, please.
Ms. Savage?
Yes.
Mr. Keck?
Yes.
Mr. Ferguson?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Ms. Devine?
Yes. Motion carries. Next up, it does not look like we have any public participation. So the next item on our agenda is a presentation on our data and report card update from Mr. Gallagher. Welcome.
All right, can you hear me? Okay, I think you can hear me, right? Wait. Okay, I will be covering a couple different things as part of my report this evening. One, we'll do a revisitation on some of the components of the Ohio School Report Card System. I will provide you a district executive summary of the reported components that we have at our disposal right now. I'll talk through our school's performance in terms of achievement and gap closing, and then I'll cover out and do some individual subgroup and grade level performance in terms of achievement and gap closing this evening. Okay, so I do want to remind all of you that we have had changes to the Ohio report card system. We previously used a letter reporting system of A through F. We've moved to a star rating system, and districts can have 1 to 5 stars for various components, or as an overall all district or school, which I'll talk about in a moment, with 3 stars representing meeting the standards for the state of Ohio on that particular component. The star system reports achievement via the performance index metric, progress component via the value added metric, a gap closing component, which is reported through subgroup performance targets, which I'll talk through a little bit later, our graduation rate, and early literacy, which has 3 subcomponents. I know we have lots of components and subcomponents to our report card system, but our 3 subcomponents for early literacy are third grade reading achievement, our kindergarten through third grade reading intervention progress, as reported through on-track, off-track status, and then promotion to fourth grade. You'll also see on the Ohio report card system college, career, workforce, and military readiness, but that will not be scored or starred until 2025. So that will be the earliest that will be happening. So there will be data reported there, but there will not be a star assignment, if that makes sense. One thing that is new for just this school year is there will be an overall component rating for schools and districts in the state of Ohio. So last year, we made the shift to the SAR system. We would have individual components reported, but we did not have overall ratings. And so now schools and districts in the state of Ohio will have an overall star rating across the board. And as it stands right now, Marysville Schools is sitting at a 4.5 star overall rating. That could change potentially depending upon our value added performance, if that makes sense. One thing I did want to note, we have seen a 1.5% increase in our performance index for the current school year. And this is a great point of pride for myself, and it should be for our organization, because the divisor or the denominator that's used to calculate the performance index actually has increased this year. So against an increasing divisor or denominator, we've continued to push progress in this organization. And just to kind of give you a comparison, if the denominator stayed the same, we would have improved by 3.3% for the current year, and we actually would have missed being a five-star district by 1 percentage point. So we're continuing to move the needle, is the story. Some other things I would like to add. You know, when we look at our graduation rate, we're actually 5.3% higher when compared to comparable schools around the state of Ohio on our four-year graduation rate. So that's also a great point of pride to have that, you know, ratio of our students graduating in 4 years. And that rate has actually been steadily increasing since the 2018-2019 school year. The time lapse that's provided in the reporting system only covers 5 years of data, so that's as far back as I can go. Just a couple other things I would like to add. The K through 3 early literacy component is not finalized. It will not change from 3 stars, but it's not finalized yet. We're still waiting on the final promotion to 4th grade data to be submitted to the state. And the state has a general collection window that does not close until September 2nd. So that will not be finalized until September 2nd. And then all report card components will be released on September 15th. All right, so let's take a look at some of our individual schools here. In elementary, we will have 2 of our buildings receive 5 stars on the achievement component. They are Edgewood and Northwood Elementary Schools. And every single one of our elementaries will receive 5 stars for gap closing, which is their ability to meet or exceed the targets defined by the state for various subgroups. And I'll get into that a little bit later. But in terms of achievement, all other elementary buildings receive 4 stars. So we are exceeding state expectations for performance across the board in our elementaries, which is wonderful. In 7 through 12, we have 1 5-star building for the achievement component, that is the Early College High School. Creekview and Bunsell will receive 4 stars for the achievement component, and MHS will receive 3 stars. And then in terms of gap closing, Creekview and Bunsell will receive 5 stars for their subgroup performance, MHS 3, and Early College High School 4. And again, I just want to note very quickly, you know, data is continuing to be processed and finalized through the state. So we do have some collection windows that are still open kind of across the board. So there's still cleanup to be done on the state side, not necessarily on our side, before there's going to be final results released again, and, you know, not until September 15th. Okay, so I did want us to get a little bit into individual test performance to see how we've done year over year. And so what I did is I included our results from 2021. So you have a 3-year look at how we're doing on these various assessments. And, you know, if you want to be able to follow a cohort, you can kind of, you know, shift diagonally through there and follow cohorts of youth. But the story with language arts is we have pretty substantive improvement across the board. You know, we've got some impact in 4th grade language arts, but we're still performing at a very high level. And then we actually had some marginal improvement in ELA 2 at the high school space. So very, very proud of what we've done with language arts in this organization. Mathematics is a little different. We have a mix of improvement and marginal change, and math is our greatest area of need in this organization right now. And starting to address that begins with our adoption of high-quality materials and resources that are aligned and designed to prepare students for high school mathematics. And the good news is that work is currently in progress as we speak. So we are all over that. And then in science and social studies, we do see a return to form, if you will, with how we've historically performed at Marysville Schools in science and social studies across the board. So we've seen improvement in all tested areas in science and social studies. All right, I said we were going to get to the subgroup targets. So the state of Ohio calls them annual measurable objectives. And then they define a performance index target for that subgroup in either language arts and and/or mathematics. So for example, looking at, you know, all students, the state of Ohio would like to have a performance index score of an 80.4 in language arts for all students in the state of Ohio. That's what they're looking for. We had a 97.8, so we exceeded that target substantially. What I will say is we've actually increased our overall gap closing performance relative to 2022. So last year we exceeded the ODE subgroup targets by a minimum of 12 points, but we've done that by a minimum of 13 points for 2023, and the AMO or subgroup targets increased by 2 percentage points over time. So again, we're continuing to gap close with our students against increasing, you know, targets and standards on the state side, which is great. When we go to mathematics, we exceeded all math AMO targets by at least 10 points, which is commensurate with our 2022 subgroup performance in math, and that's also being held against increasing AMO targets in mathematics. So it's actually, even though we, you know, on paper we held serve, we've also grown students relative to last year, but we're held, you know, against the an increasing target, so it ends up being just 10 points of improvement at minimum. And across the board, you know, I'd mentioned we had a couple different points of pride. Our subgroup performance is something that we can hang our hat on in this organization. The fact that, you know, we are supporting, you know, students with disabilities, students of color, you know, students that are economically disadvantaged, and actually exceeding the targets that are defined and prescribed by the state of Ohio is something that we should be proud of. And that does it for me.
Thank you. Do we have questions, comments from board members?
Hi, how are you doing?
Good.
So want to talk about math a little bit. And clearly we've had some struggle issues, but you mentioned we're implementing some new high quality resources, which I was kind of interested in. And the second question was, clearly eighth grade math looks like maybe we were started something new and we're doing something right. So I was curious if
what those things
you
were,
had any information on that eighth grade math drastic change.
Yep. So we are, you know, we've done our purchases for our curriculum adoption. So we're beginning the rollout of all of that. So that'll be our adoption of the high quality resources and materials. So we'll be rolling out all of those things this year, particularly with regards to eighth grade mathematics at Bunsell Middle School. They did run a pilot this year. I don't like the word pilot, but they ran a pilot this year that involved a platform called Alex, A-L-E-K-S, which is a personalized blended learning platform that allows teachers to actually connect students with, you know, content and lessons exactly where a student is at, and then it adapts to the student's performance over time. Very similar to iReady, but it's slightly different. I would say it's more geared towards high school mathematics, you know, in terms of what they have going on there. But they also incentivize the, you know, student time within that platform, and they obviously have seen great improvement by incentivizing that in the middle school space.
Okay. Yep. Very good. I also appreciated your comment about tracking the cohorts, because on the reading language, if you do that kind of diagonal tracking, even though it may show a negative result, it's actually greatly improved from the same cohort from the previous year. So I appreciate the fact that you're doing the tracking in multiple ways and making sure we're growing cohort to cohort also.
And you'll continue to see that in our data as we move forward as well. And again, that's something like we do very well in this organization is continuing to grow students as they matriculate. Yep.
Okay. You know, as a former teacher, you always, because I was teaching before all the data collection began. And so there was always a question, are my students actually achieving? Are they learning the things that they need to learn? Are they advancing? And the work that you do and the work of our teachers in gathering data, entering it in the computer, and then coming back and look at it gives us an opportunity to really be able to speak with authority and with confidence that the students in our school district are learning, and they are learning at a high level. So thank you very much for all your hard work.
Thank you. It's very kind.
Thank you for your presentation tonight. I do have a couple clarifying questions on my part. What is our graduation rate?
One moment, please.
Sorry. And then that was the only question. I know we have, I know that the graduation rate's 5-star, but I don't know what the rate is. That's the only question I have. Thank you.
It was 97% point something, but I don't know the point.
That's
something
97 is fine, or 98 yeah. is fine. Thank
I don't
you.
Know I the point something know. Off the top of my head, but I can tell you it's 97.
And then this in the early literacy, I know last presentation there was we were at 30, I believe if I'm reading it right, 38.7% were off track in the early literacy. Has that improved?
It would have been 37% of our students moved from off track to on track
status. I'm sorry, okay.
Our performance this year, we were at 38% and change as okay. it stands right now. So marginal improvement there, but it doesn't, you know, in terms of that weighted score, it's not substantially moving the needle, if that makes sense. We have room to grow there.
Okay, thank you.
I had one more question related to the career readiness metrics that's going to take mm-hmm. place. Did you say next year? Or?
2025 is the mm-hmm. first year that you will see a star rating for okay. college career workforce and military readiness.
Okay. So seems to me we're already doing all of that. Is that
correct? Schools around the state of Ohio are engaging in activities, gathering data, surveying students. So it's an activity that is new for schools this year, as we were required to survey all postgraduates that we could get in touch with for the class of 2022 to see, you know, are you enrolled in college? Are you enlisted in the military? Are you involved in, you know, trade ship or, you know, a career field, things like that? How long have you been in it? Did you get hired within 90 days of graduation? Things like that. So that is new. Typically, we've only done that for students that are in CTE programs, technical mm-hmm. programs, as well as students with disabilities as well. So those are typically two subgroups, or shouldn't say subgroups, but two groups of students that we engage in that surveying with. And this is the first year we've done that with all students, with as many as we could get in touch with. And we'll continue to do that as we move forward. And so that data will then be reported as part of that component moving forward. So you'll see, like, how many, you know, what percentage of our students are, you know, if they go into the workforce, what percentage of them are getting employed within 90 days? You know, if they're in, you know, in the workforce, what one of the 16 career, you know, clusters are they working within? You know, are they in college? Do they persist to a second, you know, or to a second year, to a sophomore year? Are they enlisted in the military? Are they doing a dual apprenticeship and, you know, higher education program? Things like that. So all of that data will be reported along with, you know, ACT, SAT performance, things like that.
Wow, that is a lot of data.
Yes. I called a lot of kids.
Well, I just wondered, like, how can you really adequately compare to other schools? Because you may not, you may be more successful in getting data than somebody else, and I don't know. It sounds like it's a work in progress.
It is definitely a work in progress. Yeah. So I imagine as we get closer to 2025, there will be guidance released by the Ohio Department of Education on what that's going to ultimately look like to have an apples-to-apples comparison for school districts.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Good.
Thank you so much.
Mm-hmm. First of all, thank you very much for tonight. And secondly, what you were just talking about, Will there be a comparison of where the student prepared as to where they ended up? Like if they were in nursing, are they in nursing?
I couldn't tell you what that's ultimately going to look like. There's absolutely no clarification or guidance from ODE on what will go into the component or what all will be reported by 2025.
Okay, great, thanks.
Thank you, Mark. I know I kind of mentioned that I might be asking what your biggest concerns and what you're most proud of, and I think you kind of covered that in the presentation, but, you know, if you want to just kind of review that or something, your biggest concerns when you look at this report card, and then what you're proud of.
Yeah, my greatest concern is mathematics, especially upper grade level mathematics right now. So that is priority one for me in this organization. When it comes to what we're the most proud of, we continue to grow our students, again, increasing in more difficult standards, you know, via the state of Ohio. That's something we can really be proud of, and not just all kids and not just within, you know, grade bands, but across subgroups of students, students, like I said, that with disabilities, that are economic disadvantaged, students of color, you know, we serve everybody in this organization, and we continue to provide a quality education for all of them.
Thank you very much. And I know I'm just going to kind of throw this out there, and I feel like I think we do this, but, you know, when you're looking at that data, if consistently a certain staff member excels in an area, how do you use that information, I guess?
That's a wonderful question. One of the most powerful sources of data that we can look at as an organization to help make those kinds of determinations is our value-added data. Who serves essentially what quartile or quintile of student, and how do they, you know, who moves them the best? So we have some teachers that excel teaching students with disabilities. We want to make sure that those teachers are attached as inclusion sections to serve our students with disabilities. Or we have some staff members that are extremely good at serving students that are gifted and talented. You know, they serve the top quintile, you know, very, very well, and they grow those students. So we want to make sure that we connect those students with those teachers. So it's essentially getting the right people into the right seats on the bus. And value-added data is extraordinary in helping us determine that, in combination with, you know, achievement, performance index, subgroup performance, things like that.
Great. Yeah. Thank you. Did you want to add anything, Diane? No? Okay. Well, thank you again. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And obviously, great work by our staff. So we really appreciate that. Next up, our High Point report. I know last month I had reported that we needed to find a new rep, but good news, Mr. Cox has confirmed that he does not need to step down at this point. And so I just wanted to let you know that. Also, I did have a chance to talk to him last night. He has been attending meetings. He's currently out of town, but said that at this point there really wasn't anything to report from High Point. You know, over the summer, they're just kind of doing the normal, getting ready for the next year. So he will, but hopefully we will see him before too long. So next up, we have the superintendent's report.
All right. The only thing I would add to Mark's, he ended on that strengths-based kind of mindset. And certainly we believe that that's why we're seeing some significant gains as well. So couldn't be more proud of where we are, and certainly recognize some opportunities for growth. And I would say our plans to focus in those areas are ready to go. Principals worked on those in May, as we talked before. So excited for next year to get started. I wanted to give a couple updates around enrollment, specifically first. So kindergarten enrollment is currently at 411 students. This time last year, we had 378, so that is an increase of 33 students. Alt-K, we currently have 34 students. This time last year, we had 28, which is an increase of 6. So obviously, I always talk about the summer as ebb and flow, and a lot of people think, well, kindergarten should be pretty solid. Well, it's really not. We will see additional kindergarten students come in over really even past Labor Day. So we'll continue to monitor that. Same as last month, we currently have two buildings in overflow at fourth grade. That's Northwood and Raymond. We have several other grade levels that are approaching capacity in different buildings, so we're monitoring those. It's kind of difficult to say for sure, because we will have kids that have withdrawn, but we don't have a records request yet. So we have some what I would call cautionary buildings and grade levels that we're keeping our eyes on as we move through the month. I did want to give a staffing update. So there's been some questions surfaced around hiring freeze. How can you still hire people? Well, we do have class size caps, and we do have capacity numbers for certain programs that legally aren't allowed to go above a certain threshold. So we've never said that we are not hiring anyone. So there are positions that we do have to replace. Right now, we have 13 positions that are currently open, 8 classified and 4 certified and 1 administrator. But our net decrease of positions through the hiring freeze is 31. So we are down 31 staff members from last year. And our total savings to date on our contingency plan with positions, benefits, our supplemental contracts, and field trip reductions sits at $2.6 million. So we are a little bit over that threshold. However, I just told you that our enrollment continues to increase. So I want to keep a little bit there in case we have people we have to hire if we see increases in some of those programs that have caps, or increases in student enrollment. We have a little bit of flexibility there to fill those spots. I did send you an email earlier. The transportation director we hired in the spring, you'll be acting on his resignation before he started. So we are in pursuit of a new transportation director again. Construction update. Inspections have started at the Edgewood building and going well. Furniture is being installed over the next 2 days. Really the last piece that we're waiting on for final inspection are doors. So you can't do a life safety test without doors being installed, and there was a little delay with those. We expect them Monday. So hopefully we can do life safety sometime next week and be ready to go. So the Chestnut building, we're still progressing well, still anticipating occupancy in the fall. HVAC is going on currently. We are expecting the rooftop unit to be put on sometime in the next couple weeks. So everything's progressing as planned in that space. I did want to also give a short update. Mark gave a presentation to the board about a K readiness program we were starting this summer. And I would shout out to Mark for his leadership in this area and his entire team. It was not certainly his work alone, but a large group of staff that volunteered their time to really design the program, tools, and resources for our families. And then also Impact 60, Richwood Bank, and Memorial Health actually helped fund the entire project. So really what we the team put together is a K readiness kit for students entering kindergarten, which really discusses or encompasses the skills students need to be progressing and mastered really before they come to school would be the goal. So we've had huge success. Nearly 200 parents came just to the readiness day last spring where we distributed the kits. And there were also some, we gave a survey at the end, so it kind of, it was on a 1 to 4 scale, but I just wanted to kind of encompass the comments from families to the program. One of them, I learned information today that will help me support my child as they prepare for kindergarten. We received a 3.8 score. Let's see. It was beneficial to receive activity recommendations as a part of my child's screening and results, 3.92. So parents really felt like they had some tools leaving the screening and the day to help prepare them for August. So we felt pretty good about that. But that work has not stopped. Our staff has continued to volunteer their time throughout the summer, the library in the evenings, distributing a safety town, distributing the kits to families who were unable to attend that event. And so we've really put nearly 300 kits out to the 411 parents or families that have enrolled. And I know their work isn't done, so they have more times and opportunities for families. So really, really happy with that. There's an incentive program with the library, and when kids return, they get, if they have their stickers, they'll get a little reward. So just really proud of that work. It's certainly maybe not something people think we're required to do, but certainly has been a great resource for our community and our families. So proud of that work to everyone involved. The last thing I would just highlight, as crazy as it seems, school is just around the corner. So August 1st, principals return. August 10th is our new staff orientation. August 11th, our staff returns. August 14th will be our celebration and welcome back at the high school, so we'll be forwarding more information to the board. It will be a middle of the day instead of start of the day activity, so that is a little bit of a change. And then August 16th is first day for students with the last names A through M in grades 1 through 8 in freshman day. August 17th will be grades 1 through 8, N through Z last names, and we're all in August 18th. So just around the corner, we're super excited to get things kicked off, and we've already seen lots of activity in the buildings. I think we just saw some practices happening and teachers in their classrooms, so excited to get things started.
Thank you. Anybody have any questions or comments for Diane? Sure.
Thank you for the lengthy report. I do appreciate it. Just to kind of go, I have to do a few questions. I know kindergarten enrollment is up. Are we good on space for kindergarten classes?
Right now we are. So if you remember, we bumped kindergarten cap size to 28 for this year. And I'm trying to find real quick my list, if you hold on. I think there's only one building, it's Edgewood. Edgewood and Raymond, we have our eye on, so they're on my yellow list.
Okay, thank you.
But there are spaces for them to go across the district.
Understood. So to with the contingency plan, I know this $2.6 million, does that include the 13 open positions or not include the 13 open positions that are we're looking to replace?
So we put a placeholder is what we tend to do.
Okay.
We hire people above that and beyond that. So we put a placeholder in for like average salary. So those are in place, but that doesn't mean that will be my final number.
Understood. With the 31 staff, how many are teacher, like classroom teachers?
That I said that.
You can send that.
You're fine. There's 4 certified staff.
Okay, 4 certified for the 30. Okay, understood.
For the 13, 1 admin and 8 classified.
That's for the 13.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. Oh.
I'll have to get that. Have it, but it's on one large spreadsheet, so.
Is it safe assume that most of this, I guess, I don't know if Todd can.
I can't answer as no, well as she can, but I did look, and I think it was slightly over half. The 31 were teachers. And then some of the other ones were not teachers, but they also, you know, I would say would have a direct impact on education because they may have been classroom aides or those kinds of positions.
Okay. And that's all. I just wanted to also say thank you for the K readiness kits. I think that's a great program. It looks like 300 families or 300 students have a kit, from mm-hmm. my understanding, and so that's great to hear. The question I had is, are we tracking like the social economic? Are we kind of meeting all the social economic demographics? The kits are being not just to families who are very involved, but we're tracking how many families on all social economic categories that we're hitting.
We are tracking who's received a kit and who hasn't, and then we'll break that out and then think of a way as we head into next year, what are some different avenues and opportunities, maybe partnering with the Y, okay. looking to tap, as you know, this is our first time.
No, yeah, so the data is not gonna help, it'll be like year 3 or 4 where we can really see the impact, so.
Yeah, and there might be a possibility of doing some like community drops. We've done that in summers in the past with book drives and reading clubs. So maybe we could publicize we'll be in a certain community, like a rolling bus, if you will.
Okay.
So I think we you know, that those will be future improvements. Yeah. We felt like this was a first step, so.
No, I mean, thank you for doing it. I know it's going to be impactful, so.
Okay.
Yep, I agree. Great program, and obviously thanks to the donors that helped put all those kits together. So that was a nice partnership.
Yes, so thank you very, very much. I just wanted to clarify that the Edgewood building was renovations was to create four new classrooms, and with the option of turning the flex space they have into a fifth classroom.
That is correct. So it'll have four classrooms, a little office space, semi-clinic, collaboration space is designed so that we would be able to put our own drywall walls up on that.
So the money that we spent in those renovations was to actually provide additional classroom space.
Yes, and in that money came from our permanent improvement account, not our operating dollars. So we were able to use PI dollars instead of asking for additional bond dollars or taking anything from operating.
Okay, thank you.
We are under budget at $5 million for both renovations.
Thank you.
Thanks for that question, Nan. I know that's we know that, but it's nice to remind everybody out there too. You know, just the fact that we've used our existing assets within our budget, like you said, creating some classrooms for students. So that's great. Treasurer's report, Mr. Johnson.
So I have a brief presentation. So June 30 is the end of our fiscal year. So I have a brief presentation on overview of fiscal year 23 financials. James is working on bringing that up. Okay, thank you. So first off, the next slide there is going to show our general fund revenue. There we go. Thank you. James, you might like Google better. I like PowerPoint still, so. Okay. So these are actual numbers now, final actual numbers for the fiscal year. So total general fund revenue for the year was $56.5 million. As you can see there, the two blue pieces of the pie, real estate taxes and pub taxes, that makes up around half of our total revenue. And so the real estate and pub taxes, those are the revenues that are generated by our levies. Okay, so then obviously the next largest line there is the green line, which is our state foundation funding that came in at $20.8 million. Really that's the most significant money that we do receive. Next slide. So just some highlights on the revenue side. So projections for the year ended up 99.4% accurate compared to actuals. That's our original projections, I should say. Then when we did the update in May, that ended up being 99.6% accurate. And when I say 99.4, revenue actually came in slightly above projections, so meaning we were 0.6% ahead of projections on the revenue side. Our state foundation funding came in $400,000 higher compared to projections. That was due to some changes in the formula that didn't get impacted or didn't really get installed into the formula until later in the year after the forecast had been completed. Something we receive every June is something called catastrophic cost reimbursement from the state. So that is for special education students whose cost to educate exceeds a certain number based on different factors in their need for education. So that number was $357,000 this year. That was an increase of $173,000 compared to last year. So that was well above projections. And it's really one of the biggest drivers as to why we weren't almost at 100% for May.
Yeah. Todd, is that a more of a reimbursement?
It is totally a reimbursement. So it's not a dollar-for-dollar thing, obviously. So, you know, those students, you see some really high numbers. So that's a reimbursement for, you know, a portion of some of those costs. The state allocates a set bucket of money for catastrophic cost reimbursement. So it really depends on how many districts apply for it and how many costs do those districts have. So it's really a number that you really can't bank on. And not only do your own costs change significantly year by year, you also don't know what everyone else is doing. So that number can really fluctuate a lot.
Yeah, so this is not new money that we can do things with. This is simply reimbursing expenses we've already paid.
Correct. A partial reimbursement for money that was already spent.
Because we have spent more than this amount for the education of those children.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Yep. You know, one of the numbers we talk about a lot is the tangible personal property reimbursement. So that was $1.35 million this year, which is a loss of $500,000 compared to last year. Next year, we have that in the forecast for $708,000. I anticipate that next year substantially will be the last year. So that $700,000 will decrease. You know, we may get a small, really small number in the following year, but for the most part, next year will be the last significant year of that funding. One of the biggest surprises this year was our interest revenues. So we ended up with $1.02 million of interest revenue. And to put that in perspective, last year we only received $261,000. So very significant change there. And even with you know, pretty good revenues this year, expenditures still exceeded revenues by $3.1 million. So that's what we call an operating deficit that we talk about. So the next slide is going to talk about expenditures. So total expenditures for general fund or operating expenditures this year were $59.6 million. And as we always say, personal services and benefits make up close to 90% of our expenditures. So that's where you're going to see those two blue pieces of the pie really make up the bulk of our expenditures. On the next slide, I've got a couple highlights there.
Can I just make a comment real quick here, Todd?
Sure.
Somebody had asked one time when they were looking at the five-year forecast, they said, shouldn't that be personnel services?
Mm-hmm.
And so I had asked you about that, and if you just want to explain
how
that's...
And for this, I could change it and say whatever I wanted to, but on the five-year forecast, those headings, I guess, are prescribed by the state of Ohio. So it is just called personal services. So that's, you know, personnel, I think, would make more sense because it is really just salaries. But personal services is what the state has given us to use.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. So on the expenditure side, projections were 99.5% accurate based on the November forecast compared to actuals. And we were actually slightly under, so it was 0.5% under actuals. Then compared to the May update, we were 99.7% accurate. The biggest variance in the forecast was based on the addition of SROs for the elementary schools. That was an increase of roughly $500,000. To put in perspective, our purchase service budget there, I noted on the previous slide, was a little over $4 million. That's our total spend on purchase services. So it's, that's our third largest piece of the budget, but that's, you know, really still pretty small comparatively. But of that, $962,000 is utilities. When we talk about making cuts, there's just not a lot of other things that you can do to move the needle to make significant cuts, because so many of those things are things that are, you really can't do a lot to cut. You know, we already are pretty good with our utilities, with the Energy Star buildings and those kinds of things. One of the big line items in supplies is actually our bus fuel. So that was $452,000 this year. and that was actually $100,000 over what we had budgeted. So fuel came in significantly higher than anticipated, plus with the growth we've had, we've got some more bus routes, and so we drove some more miles than what were anticipated as well. So with that ending cash balance for the year, we were at 163.5 days or 5.5 months of cash on hand. So that's really good. We have, you know, a solid cash balance right now.
Todd, for the purchase services, I know that's budget's $4 million, mm-hmm. but some of the highlights, I guess, can you help paint a picture of what that $4 million looks like?
In terms of what we're spending in there?
Yes, because I know like SROs is 500, buses, or the utilities was not, you know, I saw those highlights, but I guess some may ask, well, what are the purchase services that equate to $4 million?
Yeah, so close to $4.5 million was the actual expenditures, and I could give you a very detailed list, but I don't have that in front of me right now. So the actual SRO is the 500 was the addition of the elementary, so it's actually a higher number because we already had existing SROs at the high school levels and middle school. So the full SRO expenditure was probably closer to $700,000. So other things in purchase services, like I said, there's going to be the utilities. So, you know, you add the utilities with SROs, you're already at just below, you know, probably about 40% of the budget. There's going to be various, as the name implies, purchase services or contracted services. So that's going to be like attorneys that we use for the district. There's going to be, there may be consultants. We would use some of our insurance, like liability insurance. Part of that would come out of there, like for, what am I trying to say, like bus insurance, those kinds of things. That comes out of that line. Tuition is a big one. So when we have special education students that have a need that is greater that we can meet in the district, so they may have to go to a specialized facility, that comes out of that line, and that's a large six-figure number with that tuition.
Does College Credit Plus come out of there also?
College Credit Plus deduction, I believe, comes out of there as well. That's another low six-figure number that's in there.
Yeah, thank you. I just wanted to kind of get some, just a paint a picture
Sorry,
of what
try
that
not
looks
to
like.
Ramble
yeah.
on and give you every no, little
no,
pebble,
thank you.
But that,
thank
that
you
really
that.
Covers
yeah.
the most of it.
Okay.
I'm on the wrong thing here. So the next slide there, looking ahead. So state funding for fiscal year 24-25, as we've talked about, is projected to increase by $3 million based on the newly released simulations from the state based on the new state budget. I would point out we don't know yet how an enrollment increase will impact that number. So because the state funding formula still isn't fully funded, I don't think we can really assume that, you know, you just take your funding, divide by the number of students, and well, if you get one more, that's how much you get. Because in the past, that's not how it's worked. We've been to some extent capped. I'm optimistic that if our enrollment goes up significantly, that state funding number may go up as well. But I don't think it's going to be, I wouldn't anticipate that it would be as much as you might think based on that number. And I would also point out that if you looked at those simulations from the state, it did show in fiscal 25 that we would see actually a decrease compared to fiscal 24, a drop of around $300,000, I believe. And I think the main driver behind that is that our large revaluation that we got this year from the county auditor, that again makes us look wealthy. So that's what comes into play in 25 and kind of drops our funding a little bit. Again, not super significant. But again, I'm hopeful that, you know, hopefully that enrollment increase will help offset some of that drop. And then in fiscal 26 and beyond, we would be under a new state budget. I guess we're kind of up in the air what might happen there. As Diane mentioned, we've cut 31 positions. That's approximately that, as well as other items, approximately $2.6 million in total savings from all of those reductions. We talk about that new revenue of $3 million, cuts of $2.6 million, so that's over $5.5 million change to the positive in the five-year forecast. So just to be very clear that, you know, when we talk, we're talking about a levy here later, and, you know, people may ask, well, you know, well, what changed? You know, you were looking for this number before. Well, you know, that's what changed. We've made a significant cuts to the district, significant new state funding. So that's over half of the levy amount that we were originally asking for has now been made up or offset with these two significant changes. Another thing to point out, looking forward, this is just a reminder, but you know, when you look at the five-year forecast, and you, again, it's even with these significant changes, you're still seeing some negative trends in the five-year forecast. So one thing that does that is our ESSER funding is fully spent after next year. So because of that, you're going to see in fiscal 25 kind of an inordinately large increase in payroll. The reason for that is right now the ESSER funding is being used for payroll. It wasn't used to hire new positions or hire new people. It was used to pay for existing people out of the general fund. So in essence, it was saving tax dollars. But when that funding goes away, those people will come back to the general fund. So just a reminder that you're going to see that in fiscal year 25. And finally, one more slide. So even with those changes, even with the $5.6 million change to the bottom line, we're still underfunded, and that's based on, you look at revenues versus expenditures, line 6.01 in the five-year forecast. You know, really, you know, in the most optimistic five-year forecast I would make, I would still show every single year of that forecast with expenditures exceeding revenues. If we went on the ballot in November and passed the levy, there's a chance that the following year we might not quite show a deficit there, but that would probably be the only year that would be likely to happen. So again, that's based on current assumptions, and obviously that deficit grows significantly throughout the years. So while we're underfunded, you know, we're also now, after these cuts, I would say that we're understaffed. Diane mentioned briefly that teacher per pupil ratio. So we've increased those numbers to be able to absorb the 31 cuts. So now at the kindergarten, it's a 28-to-1 ratio. Grades 1 through 6, it's a 30-to-1. And then 7 through 12, it's a 35-to-1. That doesn't mean every single classroom is going to have that number, but that does mean that we wouldn't be looking to create new positions until those numbers were reached. We're also understaffed with bus drivers. I'm not sure if that's as much a financial issue as more an issue of just you can't find bus drivers across the state in general. Districts are having trouble with that issue, so we definitely need some more bus drivers. Understaffed in the central office and admin, you know, we were already one of the lowest admin to pupil ratios in Central Ohio, and then with this cuts that were made from the contingency plan, we dropped another administrator. So that means there's definitely changes in roles and changes in who's doing what. We had already dropped a central office person as well, and there's, you know, other arguments that could be made with, you know, other different departments who are also, you know, losing staff as well. So that's definitely a concern for the coming year. That's it for me.
I have a question. I hear a rumor that the central office is bloated. Can you describe, I guess, what does it take to run just a lean operation in the central office and what your staff, I know that's not, obviously classrooms matter, but we've never touched on that part. You mentioned central office is understaffed. What is the number you need and where are you at?
Well, I don't know that you can say here's a set number you need, but I mean, you just have to look at, you know, what does each position do, and you're welcome to jump in. But like, so for instance, the Treasurer's Department, you know, I've cut a position probably a year and a half ago, or maybe it was 2 years ago, I cut a position out of my office. So I guarantee if you compare our office to pretty much any other office in Central Ohio, we're going to be one of the lower staffed. So we have one person that does all the purchase orders and purchasing of the entire district. We have one person that does the payroll of the entire district. And again, most districts have a payroll team. You know, we have a payroll person. Now, also, I have the benefit of my assistant is amazing at payroll. That was her job prior to becoming my assistant. So she also helps there as well. And then we have a third person that handles all of the receipts and the inventory and things. So, I mean, it's pretty well, couldn't go much any lower, I don't think, and be able to actually complete those processes. Again, another thing, for me, it's a lot of comparison and what, you know, how do other districts do it? So most districts, I think, have a, you're going to see a curriculum department. That was something that has, you know, been really cut back on. And so I don't know if you want to speak to that curriculum piece.
Well, certainly we have a curriculum director that's also a principal. So shared model. And then Mark, who's kind of a psych background, has kind of picked up data and mental health and wellness. And so we shifted all of those pieces. For a school our size, comparatively speaking, to have an assistant superintendent, a superintendent, treasurer, business manager,
HR.
And our HR director. Mark does our data analysis. That's it for 56 plus 100 students. So it is definitely very lean in comparison to other districts. And we could be we could definitely show you comparatives and as well to Central Ohio schools and our comparison districts.
Yeah, I think that data would be nice because I know there's an assumption, but I guess. People can understand classroom sizes, but they, I think if we have to make decisions, classroom sizes are where we need to staff classrooms. However, I think we need to just paint a better picture of what the central office does and what that needed number is and where we are currently at, what comparable districts like Marysville operate at that number. So that's something sure. I think could be helpful for the
community. Forgot special ed director. I knew that was, which we have to have, but that used to be a team of three when we were a smaller district down to a team of one, and we've added preschool. I think that's what I would say. We've added services, and we certainly are serving a more diverse population of student now, and there are significant compliance requirements that you couldn't push down to principals to absorb. So I think those are some of the challenges. I did a quick tally. It's 20 certified staff, 10 classified staff, and one admin for that 31.
Thanks for that question. And I just would want to point out additionally that besides being lean, I'm really proud because I know that our employees have they've taken on the task. There's a lot of cross training that's gone on, just willingness to cover for other people, and it's a big lift. It's a really big lift, and I think that it's important for our community to know we're not heavy on admin at all. I mean, we're really, really light. So I appreciate everything that everyone does there at that level. Yeah. So.
Diane set up some meetings for me with our various department heads and so forth. And in my conversations with them, because the district is growing, the amount of work that needs to be done has increased. I know we started reductions of administrators 3 or 4 years ago. So it's not just in the last 6 months or a year that those things have happened. And just the federal requirements for record keeping for special ed is enough to keep two people busy. And we have one person that's working with our special ed director that's trying to do all of it. Because they have to track how many minutes each special service is provided for each individual special needs student. And so in the course of the week, you know, the speech pathologist was there 20 minutes on Monday and 20 minutes on Thursday, and does that, you know, because it all goes into the accounting for the charges and so forth. So I just marvel at how much our staff takes on.
Any other questions or comments for Todd? thank you very much for all that, for all the updates. And I would have to say, amazing job on budgeting, you know, to be that close. And really, that's been pretty consistent, I think. Not pretty. That's been incredibly consistent since you've been here. So that's no easy feat. Thank you. All right. Let's see. For my report, we had a community coffee this past Sunday. I believe Mr. Smith, Ms. Savage were there. And do you have anything you'd like to share?
Okay. So we had six people attend the community coffee. Five of the people were concerned about growth within the community, and in specifically to the one of the new developments coming into town. And so we just had some discussion with them, and the additional person there wanted to understand if the school district is receiving book challenges. And it was kind of an interesting conversation because parents in our district have always had the right, if they have a particular book or a particular assignment that they don't feel is right for their child or their family, that they can ask for an alternative assignment. And we've been doing that for as long as I can recall here in this district. So every year we get, I imagine, a handful of parents that aren't happy with a specific book or a specific assignment, and alternative assignments are always provided. So the power is with the parents here in our district.
How many did you say were there?
Six. Five of them to talk about growth, concerns with growth in the community, and then one to talk about book challenges.
Great, thank you. Nice to have that opportunity. End of year evaluations. We did Diane's end of year evaluation tonight. As a board, I know we're gonna need to do our own review and kind of review our work plan as well for next year. I'm guessing that we'll try and fit something in August. Possibly, so look forward to that. Also, just as we all know, we've had several special meetings since our June regular meeting so that we could have levy discussions. Kind of that reminder that we really were waiting for the state budget, number one, and then also waiting to hear some information from a survey that the levy committee had run, as well as some focus groups. So I really just want to comment on everyone here on the stage, how much time and thought you have put into and continue to put into the decisions that we need to make. And then also appreciating all of the community members who have shared their thoughts with us. And as always, we just ask them to continue doing that. We've also had, we had our first joint meeting with the city, and then had a couple of smaller group meetings since then. Mr. Keck and I sat in on those, and I thought it was just been, it's been really nice to meet, learn more about some of the challenges that we both face, talking about how we can approach those challenges with the focus really on finding ways that benefit our district and community. And our discussion have mainly focused on TIFs and economic development incentive policy. So tomorrow morning, again, we're going to be meeting with all of City Council and our entire board to discuss the progress that has been made towards towards some kind of an agreement between both of us. So that's been nice to do that. Finally, I serve on the OSPA Central Region Executive Committee, and this year I had a chance to present a couple of recognition certificates to different board members who have been serving for 10 years. And so I got to attend the Delaware and Westerville City Board meetings. And I just thought it was really interesting to go and see how somebody else runs their meetings. There are a lot of similarities to ours, but I went ahead and I picked up some agendas, brought those along, and thought, you know, there's a couple things in there maybe we could consider looking at, or if anybody's interested, just let me know and I'll give you a copy of them. And you know, if you're just kind of sitting around some night, you don't have anything to do, go check out somebody else's board meeting. and that's it for mine. So student achievement report, Ms. Savage.
So I forwarded everyone the success magazine for the student achievement from OSBA. In particular, there's the first article is, Can Evidence-Based Practices Resolve Reading Crisis? And it's actually one of the better articles that I've ever seen in the publication, and it relates directly to why the state of Ohio is changing the way that they're requiring reading to be taught, and it gives a extensive explanation of what the science of reading is and what it means. Good news is we're doing it, and we have been doing it for a number of years. So, but it's wonderful background information to share with each other and also to share with the community.
Thank you. Legislative report, Mr. Smith.
Thank you. I had a meeting with Representative Richardson in June, and the one issue that we kind of talked about was the fact that under the next two years' budget, vouchers for a high school student would be $8,400 per student per voucher. And at the time I was talking, I was using the figure of $4,000 as what we receive from the state of Ohio in support of a student, and that may have changed with some of the numbers. But clearly, they're funding vouchers significantly more than what we're receiving as a school district to educate children. I've got a tried to contact Senator Reneke's office to set up a time to meet with him. As I mentioned, I met with the directors of a number of different parts of our school district in preparation for my trip to Washington, and then I included a letter just recently the State Board of Education appointed me to a two-year term on the Ohio Educator Standards Board, and that's a board of 19 people. One school board member sits on that committee.
And you're that lucky one.
I am.
Okay, well, congratulations.
Thank you.
That's nice. And thanks, thank you for
that's
your report.
My report.
Okay, great. Thanks for your continued meetings with Representative Richardson and Senator Reneke. Okay, safety and drug report.
Yes, nothing to report tonight. I know tomorrow after our meeting, I'm going to be heading into a drug-free coalition policy meeting, and so I'm going to wait and to see what the discussions are before I provide any information to the board. So next meeting, we'll have something to share.
Sounds good. Thank you. All right. Let's see. I would accept a motion to approve draft minutes from our June 15th regular meeting, June 22nd regular meeting, June 22nd special meeting, July 7th special meeting, and July 17th special meeting.
So moved.
Motion by Mr. Smith.
Second.
Second by Ms. Savage. Any corrections, comments about the minutes? Okay, roll call, please.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Ms. Savage?
Yes.
Mr. Ferguson?
Yes.
Mr. Keck?
Yes.
Ms. Devine?
Yes. Motion carries. Next, I would accept a motion to approve the income tax levy resolution.
So moved.
Motion by Mr. Ferguson. Can we have a second? We can have some discussion.
Second.
Okay, second by Ms. Savage. Discussion. I know we've had, like I said, we have talked and talked and talked and talked about this, and I know I'll just start out a little bit because just last month, I made comments that that we needed to be back on the ballot in November. I know we had a Marysville Monarch Monthly that went out in June, and it said the board is planning to go back in November. And since then, like I said, we learned about the new state budget. We heard from the levy committee about their survey, the focus groups. Obviously, it was good news about the state budget, not so good news about the survey and focus groups. In addition to that, I know that we've all spent extra time, you know, either reaching out to people or people have reached out to us as well. And so I know for myself, I've changed my mind. And, you know, I guess it's just become clear to me that for a variety of reasons, the fact that we didn't know the state budget until the beginning of July, you know, so that's a pretty short time frame to make a decision and get the information out, explain different things. We know that there's been some confusion because of our contingency plan and some of the changes that happened as a result of changes in state funding. You know, we realized that the savings we thought we would have recognized from switching from all-day, everyday kindergarten to an alternating day schedule, half day, that we really weren't going to be recognizing enough savings to make it the right thing to do. You know, it was the right thing to keep it all day, every day. And then, you know, thanks to a nice donation, we were able to keep kind of a scaled back version of Tri-Academy. And as you know, it's hard to explain and get that information out to the community at large. And so we have heard people question that. Well, maybe you didn't really need it. And so in my mind, I think if we hold off, you know, maybe until March, that then when there's a primary election, that gives us enough time to really tell our story, answer questions, continue listening to people. And as we meet with the city, who knows, you know, there might be some new information that comes from those discussions as well. So so anyways, that's kind of where I stand right now. Yes.
Thank you for laying that all out, because that's exactly what I would have said if I could say it that eloquently. But I, you know, at the last meeting, I supported a motion for this resolution. And that at that time, that was for an income tax, and I'm still, I should say, earned income tax, and I'm still in favor of the earned income tax. However, I don't think we can turn this around by November, and I don't think we have a group of people out there that can do that for us, nor should we expect them to do that for us. And so at this time, I think it would be better if we waited on this. And so I'll be changing my vote on the resolution to a no.
Go ahead. Okay. Back in May, I would probably have been ready to put something on the ballot, but since then, with the information on the state budget, the report that we got from the levy committee, from the work that they did to try to find out where our community was, and I think if we were going to go in November, we would need to have some demonstrations of public support. We would need enthusiastic levy committee people, and we would have to have a more solid understanding than what I feel I have right now as to what the community would support. We talk about listening to our community, and I think in the election they gave strong voice that they were not at that time ready to see their taxes raised. What the levy committee found in their work and study was that was carrying forward. I think that we need to gather from the community a better understanding of the direction that the community wants us to go in order to fund education in our community. I would remind people that the state funding model has a local share component. And they come up with a calculation, and there is an expectation that a community will step up and fulfill that part of the local share. Currently, we are 600th out of 611 school districts in the state of Ohio. There are only 11 school districts in the state where their community puts less effort, financial effort, in support of their local schools. The state believes that we have the resources to support our schools more than where we currently are. And I think our community needs to weigh in and I don't think that we have the time between now and November to get all the pieces in place that that need to be there. And I think that if we take time and do this in a proper manner, that we will be successful next time we're on the ballot.
So I have been reaching out to people extensively, even since our meeting on Monday, and we have more communication as a board, as a governance team, that we need to do with the community to build our case for our levy. We see this information on a regular basis, and actually we've projected this out for the last 7 years, maybe even a little bit longer. But we have more communication that needs to be done. There's still a lot of misconceptions out in the community, and we're gonna have to address those kind of one by one. The state budget has offered us a fix, a temporary fix, though it might be, and I think we need to listen to our community. So that's it.
Going against wisdom, I will comment, knowing that the votes are 4-1. The income tax is a product, the earned income tax is a product of listening to the community. In the dialogue from people who were against the first original levy, many of them stated they were against property tax. Bill, you and I had a community coffee. People said, we support the schools, but we cannot afford to support a property tax. The earned income tax was a solution that members of the community have spoken in favor of. Now, granted, anecdotally, we don't know how people would vote. Having an income tax on the ballot this November would allow the residents to give their input into, if passed, it takes a year for collections. Income tax, earned income tax, will grow with inflation as long as our economic community here is successful and our residents are employed and earning progressively higher wages. It baffles me that we have a 3-1 or 3-2 vote on Monday to have legal services provided to us to vote to prepare this resolution and then come with what we already said at the beginning of Monday's meeting. It's a little frustrating. I'm making this decision what's in the best interest of students. The best interest of students is to secure new revenues as quickly as possible. People will listen, especially when there's a deadline of an election. So if there's any chance that anyone will change their mind, I urge support of this because it's important for our students to have reasonable class sizes, to have access to extracurricular programs, to be able to actually travel as a team. It's important for students. And this is a product, the earned income tax, of community conversations that I and many of us have been a part of. We have heard from the community, despite it being summer, despite it being vacation season, we have heard support, and there's a natural assumption that we will be on the ballot in November. So I'll rest my case. This moving forward tonight in November, I mean, the idea that March is going to be a better year, a better time to go, is also, I don't know, the darkness of winter, the cold and darkness of winter is the greatest time to get messages out. I don't see the reasoning here, but I respect the decision by this board. Thank you.
Thank you. I think maybe people will be stuck in their homes, right? We can just send it. No, I'm not making light of this. And, you know, I'll just say I know that we did hear from a variety of people, and while some are in favor of income tax, you know, some were not, too, because we have a lot of people who work outside of Marysville. The only other thing I was wondering, and this is kind of out there, but is the state budget, is that, like, is there any chance to change the timing of that? You know, like, because I just think of how challenging, okay, I know, that's far-fetched there, right? Okay, any other comments?
I'll motion to table this resolution. There's not, I mean, we can vote it down, but I can motion to table. I don't care.
I don't know what the benefit is of that. Okay, I think we'll just go ahead and do a roll call.
Mr. Ferguson?
Yes.
Mr. Keck?
No.
Ms. Savage?
No.
Mr. Smith?
No.
Mr. Pine?
No, motion does not pass. I do appreciate all the comments, and I think it's important for people to hear different comments. I also am wondering if, you know, it might be a good idea to try and send something out to all of our registered voters, kind of explaining that decision. And I'm wondering if you all would be okay if, like, maybe Diane and I can work on something, send it out to y'all, have you take a look at it, and just try and get something out at some point.
Yes, I'm good with that. Be glad to do it.
Okay.
Yep, sounds good.
Okay.
Definitely.
All right, thank you. Okay, next up, I would accept a motion to approve the Treasurer CFO action items.
So moved.
Motion by Mr. Ferguson.
Second.
Second by Mr. Smith. Any comments, Todd?
No, pretty light on this agenda. I'd already talked about the cash flow, and there's no appropriations, so nothing really else to add.
Okay. Any questions of Todd? Roll call, please.
Mr. Ferguson?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Mr. Keck?
Yes.
Ms. Savage?
Yes.
Mr. Vine?
Yes. Motion carries. I would now accept a motion to approve. Let's see, we've got three different items on here. Paul Devine as booster paid high school football coach, Stephen Devine as volunteer high school football coach, and Connor Devine as volunteer high school football coach.
So moved.
Motion by Mr. Ferguson.
Second.
Second by Mr. Keck. Roll call, please.
Mr. Ferguson?
Yes.
Mr. Keck?
Yes.
Ms. Savage?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Ms. Devine?
Abstain. Motion carries. I would now accept a motion to approve the superintendent HR items.
So moved.
Motion by Mr. Ferguson.
Second.
Second by Ms. Savage. Comments?
Pretty typical, obviously. Lots of hires, a few resignations, supplementals as well, substitute positions, volunteers.
I had somebody make a comment about substitutes, you know, like requests for substitutes to hire substitutes, you know, and they were kind of asking that as it related to this hiring freeze, you know, and I guess just kind of that reminder for everybody, we really need to have substitutes. You need to have somebody in the classroom.
Right. I mean, obviously, there will be teachers or staff members that miss work, and you have to have coverage for those. So substitutes are paid on a, they're not offered a contract per se. It's a daily rate.
Right. Thank you. Any other, any questions, comments for Diane?
I would also just add that our daily rate is the lowest right now in Central Ohio. So we're working on trying to figure that out.
Right. Okay. No questions, then roll call, please.
Mr. Ferguson?
Yes.
Ms. Savage?
Yes.
Mr. Keck?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Ms. Devine?
Yes. Motion carries. And I'd accept a motion to approve the superintendent, the other superintendent action items.
So moved.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Mr. Smith, second by Ms. Savage. Pretty short here, just early graduates there. I don't think there's any questions. Roll call, please.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Ms. Savage?
Yes.
Mr. Ferguson?
Yes.
Mr. Keck?
Yes.
Ms. Devine?
Yes. Motion carries. Now time for comments and questions. We'll start with you, Mr. Smith.
The vote on the levy issue was a real tough one for me. I know as members of the board, we all looked at the same information. We heard the same comments. We understand the need for additional money. And, you know, to me, we absolutely have to have a levy passed, but it's difficult to push forward on that, to try to urge people to join in and into a levy committee and push the levy forward when what we have heard in large numbers, and I've heard from people that said, I'll never vote for a property tax. I've had people tell me I'd never vote for an income tax. And we know from our research that the split in our community is about 50-50. And I just, as much as I want to move forward as quickly as is possible, I think it's important to move forward in the right way. And as I earlier said, I think we need to create opportunities to be able to listen to the community. And I'm talking now about the entire community, all different segments of the community, to try to come up with something that's going to be acceptable. So I want to thank Mark for all the work that he did in terms of data. I was at high school today, and we've got all these athletic teams that are preparing for the fall. So the start of school occurs before August 1st in many households. So excited and looking forward to a new year.
Thank you, Mr. Kay.
Yeah, I just want to say thanks to Mark also, because I, you know, you can't improve anything without the statistics. And that's been, I think, a game changer for the district overall. And it's nice to see most of it's positive. That's always a good thing. And then, you know, I too, that the levy thing is the toughest thing out there. I would say I am very much in support of an income tax, earned income tax levy. I know the community is 50-50 on this, and my feeling is if we are 50-50, we need to go with something that can grow with a school district that doesn't basically evaporate with time. Mm-hmm. And so eventually, regardless of the date, I think we need to be leaning toward that. Now, if there's an overwhelming reason why we shouldn't do that, then I'd entertain that at that time. But I do appreciate everybody's time and effort on this. I know, you know, we discussed it for an hour and a half, and I did switch my vote because, you know, the school board legally cannot be the campaign committee, and members of the school board can't be the campaign committee, and so we have to have people in the community that are really excited about this, and they have to have enough time to put together, you know, a program and or a campaign, and that is a huge undertaking. So, and I really appreciate the two individuals, you know, Erica and Steve, that did this the last time, and I hope that they'll be part of the next time. So.
Thank you. Ms. Savage.
I'd like to thank Mark again for his presentation. I'm really excited about the 411 kindergartners coming in. That is the biggest class, is it not?
I'd have to go back and look. It's, I mean, we just graduated, what was that, four?
Maybe like for the...
But for coming in, I'd have to look at the trend.
It's a very large class.
It's trending that way, yes.
It's a very large class.
But our norm now is becoming over 400 for quite a while. It'd be every once in a while, but now that's becoming our norm.
And I truly appreciate the kindergarten readiness kits. I think that's going to be very helpful, along with links under curriculum on our website, offer lots of tips for incoming kindergartners or incoming students from outside the district. So please encourage people to take a look at the website and look for information. Hope we find a transportation director and some bus drivers. So anybody want a job driving bus, please contact Marysville School District. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Ferguson.
Well, I guess we've spent a lot of time talking about this show ago on the levy in November. We spent hours. This conversation probably could have ended much earlier than tonight. Even before we motioned to have a resolution on tonight's agenda, I said we should not vote for this motion if we are not seriously thinking about supporting it, because it requires time and effort by Todd, Diane, legal. There's a cost that was associated with drafting a resolution, and we could have ended that conversation on Monday. But the question that remains that we all have to answer and reflect on is, why do we not have support in our community? Why do we not have support in our community? And why are we not willing to fight at the earliest opportunity? That's all I have.
Thank you. Mr. Johnson.
Nothing to add.
Nothing to add. We're just excited to get things going.
I know.
It's around the corner.
Less than a month. I know. Thank you, Mark, again, for the presentation. And again, congratulations to Dick for being appointed to that. Also, just a heads up, I will be submitting our nominations for our Exemplary School Employee and Friend of Public Education. And if approved, they'll be recognized at the Fall Central Region Conference on September 20th. I thank everybody who has reached out to us, and as always, please continue to share your thoughts, because that's the key question right there. You know, we need to figure out what we need to do to gain that support and understanding of our community. And then, like I did last month, I'm just kind of touching on Diane's evaluation. I just think that I hope our community knows how fortunate, how blessed we are to have Ms. Allen leading our district. She's a visionary. She's involved in so many different groups, and you know, always manages to pull information from those groups and network to try and make sure that our district is leading the charge when it comes to education and achievement for our students. Our focus on, I will say that when I went to the Delaware City Schools board meeting, their high school presented on personalized learning and a report card that was moving away from grades to more of a mastery kind of format. And they were really excited. They were really proud to be leading the charge. And it was a little hard for me to sit there and not say, wait a second, you know, we've been doing this for a while. But I am, I'm proud, and I again, I hope our community realizes what a gem we have here in Marysville and the amazing things that are happening in our district every day, even when we are short-staffed. You know, there's just a real can-do attitude. There's always this striving to improve, and I'm grateful for that and appreciate your leadership. So thank you very much. And with that, I would accept a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Motion by Mr. Keck.
Second.
Second by Mr. Smith. Roll call.
Mr. Keck?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Mr. Ferguson?
Yes.
Ms. Savage?
Yes.
Mr. Vine?
Yes. Motion carries. We're adjourned at 7:35. Thank you.